The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Today we're starting a brand new sermon series entitled From This Day Forward. From This Day Forward. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to invest in those of you who are married right now. And so you may say, well, I'm sitting here and I'm not married. There isn't anything for me here. No, there's actually a lot of stuff that's here. So this is also for you who hope to one day be married. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to give you some tools on the front side of your marriage that'll help you prepare for a godly and a successful marriage. For those that are here that are already married, if you do these things, I promise you, they're going to fail-proof your marriage. They're going to fail-proof your marriage. But what I like to do is we like to start off sometimes a little bit lighter. I want to ask the ladies a few questions here. Are there any ladies here when you were a little girl that you dreamed of growing up and having the perfect wedding? Any ladies here that dreamed about the perfect dress and the perfect veil and the perfect church? All right, some of you here. How many ladies here even named your children long before you knew who your husband was going to be? All right, we have some of you here. All right, how many of you ladies visualize like the perfect home, like the white picket fence? You know, any ladies here? All right, I see one back. All right, a whole bunch of you. All right, great. Thank you for your honesty. All right, men, how many of you did those things? Thank you for not raising your hand, because I'd have to ask you to be excused right now, all right? Men, how many of you, though, dreamed that one day you would get married and you'd be able to make out with your wife twice a day and three times on Sunday? Raise your hands, men. All right, all the men's hands went up. Yeah, let's give the men's a hand right here. All right, one more question for everybody. How many of you are still dreaming? Yeah, all right, everybody's hand should go up for that, right? Okay. Okay, there are a lot of expectations about what marriage is going to be like. And when marriage doesn't meet our expectations, there's all sorts of disappointments and hurt and pain and anger. In fact, some of you have been so wounded in relationships, or you're in one that right now, if you were honest, it's in such bad shape that you wonder, is it even possible to have a great marriage? Or is it even possible to have a good marriage? And what I want to let you know this morning is beyond a shadow of a doubt, the answer is yes. But I also want to be really honest with you this morning and say, while a great marriage is possible, if you do what everybody else is doing, it's not likely. It's not likely, because if you look at the statistics, both inside and outside of the church, they're actually horrifying. 50% of marriages don't make it. And I would say that of the 50% that do make it, most of those are absolutely miserable marriages. There's no intimacy. There's no friendship. There's no passion. How many of you maybe you know people that are just sticking together for the sake of the kids? And so what we find is that the odds are really stacked against us if you do what everybody else does. So I want to start this morning by posing a question. Let me ask you this. What other significant area of your life would you be satisfied with 50% odds? Think about that for a moment. If I told you that there's a 50% chance that you would get cancer if you eat a certain kind of cereal, how many of you would start eating a different kind of cereal, right? All of us here would. If I said that there's a 50% chance in the next 72 hours that your entire retirement's going to be taken and everything you have in the bank is going to be wiped out, your accounts are going to be wiped clean, chances are if you knew that, most of you wouldn't even wait for this message to be over. You'd be hightailing it out of here right now to get your money in the same place, in a safe place. Now, none of us would be satisfied with 50% odds in any significant area of our lives. And yet our world is so crazy. It's so out of touch with reality. We've lost sight of what's important. A case in point is this. You can actually, as a 16-year-old, you can go get a driver's permit. You have to spend $300 to do that. You have to spend all these hours behind the wheel with an instructor. Take all of these classes. You've got to do all of that just to be able to drive a car. But you can go down right now or on Monday to the courthouse and you can get a marriage license for $110 and no training. I mean, it's really crazy. So our goal in this series is that we want to invest in the marriages that are already here, the marriages that are to come, and we want healthy and we want safe homes for our children. And so if you're not yet married, I pray that you will do things differently than society does, that you'll do things God's way. And when we get married, what I want you to understand is realize that you're not making a legal agreement. When you get married, you're actually making a spiritual covenant with a holy God, and you're asking God to help us have the kind of marriage that He intended. And so if you do that, if you ever stand before someone and do the vows, you're going to say some vows like Shiloh and I did. They go something like this, you know, I, Andrew, take you, Shiloh, to be my lawful, sorry, that's a bad slip. No, my wonderful wife, to be my lawful and what, I wanted to make sure you guys were paying attention, all right? A few of you were, thank you. To be my lawful and wedded wife, to have and to hold. Well, what's the next part? From this day forward, and that's really where we take the name of this series from, and I love that line of the marriage vows because there's incredible hope in those words. Because the past is behind us. It's in the rear view mirror. It doesn't matter how many times I messed up in the dating relationship. It doesn't matter if we struggled since we've been married. It's from this day forward. In other words, we're crossing a line. We're moving into a new day. From this moment forward, things are going to be different. Here is my commitment to you before God. And the commitment you make to God is a big one. For better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, or in sickness and health, we will forsake all others and be faithful to you as long as we both shall live. And then we end the vows with this statement, so help me God. And the problem is I think that a lot of people say, so help me God, like it's sort of a declaration. I suggest that what we actually should say is, so help me God. Like, what have I just gotten myself into? So help me God, right? How many of those of you that have been married for a while know exactly what I'm talking about? Because we need God, and we need His help if we're going to honor Him in our marriages. In fact, the five items that we're going to cover in this series beginning with today, I want you to memorize these. I want you to internalize these. And so today I want to drive the first item home that will help us as couples fail-proof our marriages. In your service guide, you can go ahead and pull out your sermon outline and follow along with us. There's fill in the blanks. Number one, though, is that we are going to commit to seek God. We're going to commit to seek God. Now the problem is that a lot of people aren't really seeking God before they're married. They're actually seeking a spouse. Most of us are looking for that perfect someone, that one person who's going to meet our needs. Because everybody knows this here that's been in a relationship that you really can't be happy in life until you meet what? The one, right? How many of you heard some, I've met the one, you know, and the eyes are all starry, and they're just like, I've met the one, right? And when she does this, it just does something to me. And what do we say? I think I've met the one. She's beautiful. She smells good. And when she does it, oh, I've met the one. Or if you're a girl, you know, you're something like, wow, he's so sweet, and he's so caring, and he talks and talks and talks. Ladies, just enjoy that while it lasts, all right? Just a side note, right? You know, he's got such a cute little behind, you know, or whatever ladies say. I don't know, whatever it is, ladies, that you get excited about, right? She's like, I think I've met the one, right? And because what people believe is to really be fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. What would actually be great is if instead we would say, oh, I met someone and they're awesome and they're beautiful and they're talented and they're godly and we have so much fun together and there's this real bond. I think I might have met the two. Because culture teaches us something that is entirely true. To really be fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. The problem is that another person is not the one. If you're taking notes, this is the next thing in your outline. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. This is one of the most important foundational principles about having a relationship that will stand the test of time. For long-term health, it's essential that God is your one. In fact, listen to what Jesus said when he was asked, what is the most important commandment? He didn't respond, well, love your spouse with all your heart. Instead, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. So let's start with those of you that are not married, but you'd like to be married one day. Here's the commitment that I'm asking you to make, and I pray this will be the driving force of your life. It's the next blank here. It says, I will seek the one while preparing for my two. I will seek the one while preparing for my two. What we're going to do is when we're not married, above anything else, we're going to seek to honor God. We're going to seek to love God. We're going to seek to know him, to please him, and to live our lives according to his will. Well, we're not seeking a spouse, but instead we are seeking God and his kingdom first. And there's an amazing promise when we do this. What happens when we follow this principle? This is what it says in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything. Somebody say everything. Everything you need. So we're going to seek the one while he's doing something in us and preparing us for the two. The challenge is so often in our culture today that there are a lot of people that label themselves or they call themselves a Christian. And so what they'll do, especially as they get into their late teens and early 20s, is they kind of put the God thing off until later when they think that life matters more. And so single people, they'll think, well, hey, one day I'll be married and then I'll find a church and I'll get my life together. But for now, I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to go party it up. I'm going to go to the clubs. I'm going to jump from this person to that person. And so you decide to live in an ungodly life thinking that one day later you're going to get back and get down to spiritual business. And can I tell you this morning, that's an incredibly dangerous place to be. There's a story that was told that really illustrates this well. There was a young girl who was a very committed Christian growing up and into high school, but when she went off to college, like happens with so many young people, she just started kind of drifting away. First, she gave into peer pressure and she started partying and the alcohol turned into drugs, and then it turned into guy after guy. And so she fell into this lifestyle of a very destructive sin. In the back of her mind, though, the whole time she was like, but I still believe in God and I still want a godly marriage, and one day I'm going to come back and one day I'm going to do the right thing. But she continued staying in this unhealthy lifestyle. And one day she met a guy. And as soon as she saw him, like, she knew, like, he is the one. He was everything that she had hoped to marry. He was godly. He was a terrific leader. He was making a difference in his community. He was leading other people. He had a great career, and she was so excited, and she went over to her parents' house, and she had lunch with her mom, and she said, Mom, I met this guy. I mean, he's everything. He's godly. He's perfect. He's the kind of guy that I want to marry. I'm going to do everything I can to make myself available and hopefully start up a relationship with him. And the mom very lovingly said, well, sweetheart, what you need to know is a guy like that isn't looking for a girl like you. Boom. That's heavy, right? You know, and growing up in the 80s and 90s, I was like, burn. You know, how many of you know that? Like, you burn like that. That's like you're burned by your mom. I mean, you know, she was just telling you, just being true for that a guy like that isn't looking for a girl like you. And here's the next thing in your outline, because it doesn't matter what you want. Like attracts like. Like attracts like. And so as my advice for you this morning, if you hope to have a godly marriage one day, is to live a godly life today. Seek God today. Be kind, become the kind of person that you would like to marry. If you want to marry someone who's had, you know, 18 different partners and 18 different intimate partners, then do that. Go for it like everybody else. If you want 50-50 odds, then live like everybody else does. But if you want something that is different, if you want something that is special, I challenge you to seek God today. I will seek the one while preparing for my two. Now, for those of you who are married, here's what we're going to do. Our commitment is this. The next blank in your outline is I will always seek the one with my two. I will always seek the one with my two. We're going to seek the one together with our spouse. And let me tell you why this is so important. Because our marriages will never be what God wants them to be unless He is one and our spouse is two. And so often we get it all mixed up. We try to make our spouse the one. In other words, you know, you make me so happy. Oh, baby, you're my everything. Or we sometimes even make it worse than that. We even put God as one, but then we put our children as two, or our careers as two. And listen, it will never work unless God is the one and our spouse is the two. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago in our message, when we try to make our spouse or our boyfriend or our girlfriend the one, what we're really doing is we're idolizing them. You know, we say things in movies, say things like, oh, you complete me, right? Or you had me at hello, right? You know, these types of things. And so what we're doing is we're putting undue pressure on a person who really is incapable of meeting all of our needs. And this is what happens. First, when we're all crazy about them, what do? We idolize them until what? Until they let us down, right? And when and that's not if that's going to happen, it's when that's going to happen, because we're all sinful people. And so as soon as they let us down, we stop idolizing them, and then what do? We start demonizing them. Right? How many of you that have been married know this to be true? You know, you're not doing this right. You're not meeting my needs. And so you know the drill, right? This is kind of how it goes. I mean, he likes her, and during the dating or the courtship process, he's like, you know, she's so organized. And she's so driven, and she's just so amazing. I love the way she's so passionate about life. And then they're married for a few years, right? She's a control freak, right? The opposite side of what attracted her to him in the first place, right? She wants everything her way. She drives me crazy. She nags. Watch this. Idolize, demonize. Or it's like this, you know, the lady's talking, I love him so much. You know, he's so laid back. You know, he just comforts me. He's so easygoing. And man, man, that's so awesome, right? You know, in the dating relationship, but all of a sudden, a few years into marriage, this turns into, he's a bump on a log. He doesn't do anything. He's not a leader. He sits there and plays his video games all day long. Oh, that's a whole nother message right there. We'll just move on from that. But watch that. We idolize, and then we demonize. And so what we need to do is we need to seek the one with the two. We're continuing to seek God with our spouse. Now, how do we do that? How do we practically seek God together? There are many things that we could discuss. In fact, we could probably do a whole series on how we should seek God. But I wanted to just bring it down to one simple thing. What I really believe is really a great habit and the most important discipline, and that's what we're going to talk about here. It's just a great habit that we all can have in our lives. And I was thinking about habits, and I recalled a story that I had read. Los Angeles Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda described his battle with bad habits, and this is what he said. He said, I took a pack of cigarettes from my pocket. I stared at it, and I said, who's stronger, you or me? And so the answer was me, so I stopped smoking. He said, and then I took a vodka martini and I said to it, who's stronger, you or me? And again, I looked at it and the answer was me, so I quit drinking. He said, then I went on a diet and I looked at a big plate of linguine with clam sauce and I said, who's stronger, you or me? And a little clam looked up at me and answered, I am. And he said, I can't go on a diet. I can't beat linguine. There's a book that's out there called The Power of Habit, and this book talks about what the author describes as keystone habits. There are certain habits that if you do them, what they'll do is they will create forward momentum, and when they do that, it leads to other good habits. Right, I know this is kind of a new concept, but some of you may be already thinking, you know, like you know, sometimes we just want to exercise and we just feel lethargic. And so finally we exercise, and then all of a sudden all these other good habits start coming out just because we started exercising for 30 minutes a day. We start eating better. You know, all of a sudden we've got more energy, and so we're cleaning up the house more. We're doing our, you know, we're being proactive on things. And so there are also, though, these keystone habits that if you don't do them, in the opposite direction, they create negative momentum, which then leads us into negative habits. And so the keystone habit that I want to give you about seeking God is very simple. It's really going to propel you into doing other things. And this is the one thing that I'm going to ask all of you to do here together. If you're taking notes, that is this, is number one, we will pray together every day. Pray together every day. Your keystone habit is to seek God together in prayer. And so I probably scared about half of you completely out of your mind right now. What you need to know is that prayer is intimate. I can't put into words how incredibly bonding it is to join hands together with your spouse, to petition the God who brought you together and to ask him to do something. Some of my favorite moments in Shiloh's and my relationship have been the times when we've grabbed hands and we've laid on the bed and we've just cried out because we needed God's help. And I tell you, most of those times, we're in the midst of the most difficult seasons. They were times that I would never want to go back to. They were times that I would never want to repeat. But yet I look back on our relationships, and those are the things in our relationship, those are the things that stick in my mind, how intimate that time was together. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. I know that there are undoubtedly, just in a crowd this size, there are marriages that are here that are struggling. And I challenge you that if you will pray together, I believe we can apply this scripture loosely and say, and God will say, I will heal their marriages. Now listen, this isn't an area, and I don't want to sit up here and want you to think that we're the experts on this. This isn't an area in our marriage that we have not arrived. We could still do way, way better. But there are some things that we've learned together as a couple. Really what's important, just like anything in your Christian journey, it's important for it not to just be done out of duty. That it not be something that's just done out of ritual. It needs to be something that's fresh, something that is authentic. When we pray together, it shows that we care about each other. How many of you know that as your marriage changes and as the years go by, things change, right? There's those nights with the babies where you think, am I ever, ever going to sleep an entire night through? Again, if you had kids like our kids, they never slept through the night till they were like 2 years old. I don't know how my wife did it. She was like a walking zombie, right? You know, there are those days that you go to work and you come home really tired. And so that life just happens and we're not always able to pray together. But one of the things that I think we've consistently done is we've always prayed for one another. I know I shared this a month or so ago, but one of the things that I love most about Shiloh is that there have been times where I've been having a horrible day. You know, something has gone wrong before I've left to work, or things are just something is going wrong. And every once in a while, I'll be like, you know what, I just need to call her. I need to text her and say, man, child, I need you to pray for me. Will you pray for me about this situation? And I can't ever remember a time in our entire 20 years of marriage where she didn't come back and respond, I've already prayed for you today. I've already been lifting this situation up before God, and this is really part of this praying together, even when we aren't physically able to be together. It's that we're holding one another up before God, and I promise you, it will make your marriage stronger. It'll help you get along. It'll help you feel close to one another. So if you've never prayed with your spouse, like I said, this can be kind of an intimidating thing. You know, how do you start? God, you know, or where do you start? You know what do you say? And sometimes I can tell you this, the as many of you know, the hardest thing, right, when you're starting a new habit is just the starting, right? How many of you, you know, were like workout crazy? I remember a time in Florida where I was running like 2.5 miles every day, and I got to so where I enjoyed it, and I loved it, and it made me feel good in the morning, and man, it was awesome, right? But then how many of you have fallen off the wagon, even though you felt good, right? And so what's the hardest thing, right, is to get back up and get started again. Listen, praying together is simply another way to support one another and to look to God and depend on Him. I know that there's complications. I know we've got people here in this room who are married to non-believers, and they're not ever going to probably pray with you, but listen, I don't know how as a couple, and those of you that are in that situation, I know God's going to give you grace, but if you're both in the church, if you're both, you know, following Jesus Christ, I don't know how couples make it without seeking God together. And I will say this, I believe with all my heart that Satan does not want you to pray together. So here are some simple things that you can do, because it might be terrifying to have to grab your spouse's hand and start praying with them, but just some simple ways that you can start. Maybe you write out a prayer, and then, you know, some point during the day, you just text it to your spouse, say, hey, I'm praying for you today. I'm praying that God would give you peace today. It could just be by starting to pray over your meals. Maybe you don't pray over your meals as a family or as a couple. Maybe that's an easy way to start. Lord, I thank you for your blessing to us. I thank you for your blessing to our family. I thank you for putting us together. And Lord, I just pray that you bless this time that we have together. Just something very, very, very simple. It could be just a simple prayer as your spouse leaves, you know, God, I pray that you'd bless my spouse today. Be with us. Keep us safe today. Praying out loud together is actually a great thing. It, you know, and it doesn't have to be. So many times we think about prayer and think, well, gosh, it's got to be 15 minutes, and I don't even know what I could say beyond 30 seconds. Listen, just start somewhere. Just start somewhere, and you can get more organized. I know one of the things that I started doing personally, we don't do this as a couple, but maybe this might help you as a couple to do this, is to just make a prayer list. How many of you ever sat down to pray, and you're like, you know, I can think of like the three things I know I need to pray about. You know, these are the tragedies or the scary things going on in life. But then like after 38 seconds, you're like, yeah, what time do I have to go to work today? What are we having for dinner tonight? Like, how many of you, right? I've been there so many times in my life. So maybe you just get a little notebook, a little journal together, and you just start writing down some of the things that you know as a family that you need to pray for. Protection over your children. You know, that God would provide just whatever those things are. You know, we're praying for a friend at work who has cancer, or maybe a friend whose marriage is going through a difficult thing, or a family member who's going through a rough situation. And you just keep this prayer list, and you just keep writing it down. One of the great things about that is as you start praying, God is going to answer your prayers. And so then I challenge you to write down, you know, in my prayer journal yesterday, I was able to write down on two prayers that I've been praying since 21 days of prayer when we started that God answered them. And I wrote the date right there, you know, 2/13 of 2016. There were two prayers. And what that does is it'll build your faith, and you'll want to do it even more. And so I encourage you to do that in some way. But watch this. When you pray regularly together, chances are you're more likely to go to church together. Remember, I talked about these keystone habits that lead us to other positive things. Chances are more likely that you're going to be involved in church together. More likely that you're going to get involved in a life group together. You're more likely to have people praying for you because you're in a life group. And you're going to be more likely to bring up people with the love of God and pray for them. Why? Because you've developed a positive spiritual momentum and a positive spiritual discipline that's going to help you in your marriage. And beyond all of the great spiritual things that'll happen when you pray, just think about this. It's really hard to fight with someone that you're praying with. I mean, it's hard to have an ongoing, I hate you, you're a jerk, you're a loser, why in the world did we ever get together? You know, why did you come home from work on your broom today, right? You know, those kind of discussions, right? I know I'm not the only one who's had one of those in my house, right? It's hard to do that when you're praying together. Can I get really real? It's hard to commit adultery. It's hard to get hooked on pornography when you've got spiritual intimacy with your spouse. It makes you, when we pray, it makes you want to know God. It makes you want to serve God, and it protects you from getting caught up in all of these things that lead to a 50% divorce rate. And finally, it's really hard to divorce someone that you've invested time with seeking God together. I know that some of you are thinking, well, I'm not a great Christian. This is just way too much, and you don't know my spouse. Okay, fine. Take the odds. Take the odds this morning. 50%. The odds are 50% against your marriage today. And even if it does make it, it's likely that you're unhappy and that you're unfulfilled and that you have no passion and you're just holding out till the kids get out of the house. Take those odds if you want them. Or I challenge you to take a bold step this morning and say, so help us, God. God, we want you involved. We want to seek you daily. Let me give you just a couple of quick stats that should just really make you think as we wrap this up here this morning. Family Life did this survey a few years ago, and this is what they said. They surveyed thousands of Christian couples, and what they found is that fewer than 8% of Christian couples pray together. Fewer than 8%. Now, here's the good news with that statistic. Of those couples that do pray together, they found fewer than 1% of them divorce. Fewer than 1%. So I challenge you this morning, really the choice is yours. Would you like 50-50 odds? Or would you like a 99% chance that your marriage is going to make it? The choice is yours this morning. I like I said earlier, I believe that Satan doesn't want you to pray. And so I'm going to ask you to make a commitment here this morning to pray together. Well, we seek God first. So help us, God. So help us, God. You may say, well, we don't do that. I don't even know how I could do that. Listen, from this day forward, we don't really like each other right now. I understand there are times in our relationships that we don't really like our spouses, but from this day forward, we're going to make a commitment that we're going to pray together. We don't know how to do it. I don't care. From this day forward, however you have to start, whatever little ways, there are books that you can go by that have written out prayers that you can pray together. Well, I'm uncomfortable. I've never done this sort of thing. Listen, I challenge you, get over it. From this day forward, we need to be people of prayer. There's a story of an older couple. The wife was dying in the hospital. She was 88. Her husband was 90 years old. They had been married for just over 70 years. The hospital room was packed with several generations of family members. They were all singing and worshiping together as the matriarch of this amazing family was about to pass from here to heaven. And this feeble 90-year-old man opened up his Bible to Psalm 23, and through tears he read it over his wife. And then everybody joined hands, and he put one hand on his wife's head, and he committed her to God in heaven. He thanked God for for 70 years of getting to serve God with his best friend. And he kissed her lightly on the forehead and whispered in her ear and said, "I'll see you soon." Moments after that, she finished the race. She slipped from this world into eternity. And there was somebody that was kind of close to the family but wasn't really in the family that was in the room. And they witnessed all of this take place. And he pulled this man aside who had just lost his wife and said, "I want what you have. What's the secret? What's the secret?" And he said, "Man, you don't understand. We've messed up so many ways. We've messed up too many times to even count. But the one thing that we did, the one thing through all of life's difficulties, through all of life's hard times, through all of life's circumstances, the one thing we did is we were faithful together in prayer." That was this man's secret after 70 years of marriage. And so what I ask you to do here this morning is to grab hands if you're here with your two and never stop seeking the one. And when you do that, I believe that the God of heavens is going to hear your prayers and he is going to transform your marriage into everything that he wants it to be. And not even that, everything that you dreamt it would be. Because it's not just about the beautiful dress. It's not just about the beautiful veil and the flowers and the reception and the party and all the things we celebrate, right? Those that have been married, we know that day flashes in just a blink and it's all gone. And so those things that as ladies you dreamt about, God wants to give you the desire of your heart, that passion, that intimacy, that trust, all the things that have been broken, because we're all sinful beings here and we make poor choices, and when we do that, it splinters and it fractures our relationship. As we close, I want to just throw a broad net out in first and just ask the question. I don't care if you're young, old, married, or not married, whatever, but you recognize, no matter what category you fall in this morning, you recognize that you really haven't been seeking the one as you should. And today, you want to make a commitment to be a person of prayer. From this day forward, I commit, God, to seek you faithfully through prayer. If there's anybody here that would be brave enough to lift their hands and say, "God, from this day forward, I want to be better." Is there anybody here that would raise their hand? I want to pray with you in just a minute. Thank you very much. Hands all over this place. If you're married and you're here with your spouse, I want you to think about this. And I don't care if you pray faithfully all of the time and you do this all the time and you just want to renew. But maybe you're here with your two and you've never prayed. In fact, the thought of praying together scares you to death. But you recognize what the odds are. And you recognize that if you're going to make it long term, that you need God's help. What I want to ask you guys to do here this morning is I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to seek God in prayer. I'm going to ask that if you're going to make this commitment together, I just want you, some of you are already doing it, but grab the hand of your spouse right now. Grab the hand of your two right now. And I just want you to make a commitment to each other. Make a commitment to God wherever we are. If it's just over meals, if it's just 5 seconds when we walk out of the house together, we're gonna start somewhere. We're gonna pray together. We're gonna keep praying together. If you commit to do that with your two, would you raise your hands here? I want to be able to pray for you as well. Thank you, hands all over the place this morning. We praise God for you. There's a lot of you that are going to realize right now that the way you're living, the way that you do life, that God is not your one right now. You may even believe in God, but he's not your one. And let me tell you what, he wants to be this morning. God wants, every single one of us, God wants to be the one in our lives. In fact, the scripture says that he loved us so much that he came down from heaven to earth to become sin for you and for me and to die on the cross, to be raised from the dead. And what we know is that our sin separates us from God. We're bent from God to do sinful things. We're sinners by nature, and every single one of us in this room, we need forgiveness. But because of what Jesus did for us, all of our sins this morning can be washed away. They can be forgiven. I'm telling you this morning, anything, everything that you've ever done, you can be forgiven by God. You can be made brand new this morning. And when he washes you and when he cleanses you, then he's not only your Savior, but he wants to be the Lord of your life. And what that means is that he is number one. From this day forward, you can't change the past, but from this day forward, you can call on him. You can give your life to him. You can be forgiven today. Those would say, you know what? He hasn't been my one. But from this day forward, I want him to be. I give him my life with every head bowed here this morning, no one looking around, every eye closed. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand up by yourself. I'm not going to have you walk down to the front. But if you want God to be number one in your life, if you want to make a first-time commitment to follow him, or maybe you once had a commitment, but for whatever reason you've walked away and you've drifted away, would you just raise your hand here? Is there anybody here? Thank you. There's hands all over. Thank you for your hands on the right, hands in the middle. Thank you. Hands all over this place. It's the best decision that you could ever make. It's the best decision you could ever make. Let's all stand together here this morning. In just a moment, we're going to pray together. I ask this question every Sunday morning. I challenge every person in this room to ask this question: God, what are you trying to speak to me this morning? God, what are you trying to say to me? And after we're finished praying, we're going to sing a song together. We're going to spend some time talking to the Lord in just a moment. There's going to be a couple of our leaders down here in the front that are going to be here to pray with you. And so they're up here once we start singing. If you need help, if you need prayer in any area of your life, maybe it's something we discussed today. Maybe you need help in your relationship. Maybe you've got a health issue in your body. Maybe you need a financial miracle. Whatever the situation is, as we start singing, just come down. Feel free to come down to the front. We'll pray for you. But I simply ask that all of you just join your voices aloud. I encourage you to pray with me together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of all my sins, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would make me new. Lord, I ask you to be.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.